Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 60 of Crosshairs Radio. This is a special episode. It's our live podcast that we did during U.S. Cyclocross Nationals up in Hartford, Connecticut. Recorded it on Saturday night in BC Co., who was nice enough to host us for this event. We had a great crowd that braved rough road conditions to be out there. It was snowing all day. We had really icy and treacherous conditions. So thank you for everyone who showed up for the recording of this podcast. Had an awesome time. We're joined by Spencer Howe from the Slow Ride podcast and also from Squid Bikes, Emily Kachorek. Before we get into that podcast, a couple small items of business. First off, Health IQ, they're back on board as a sponsor. Life insurance needs, since you're a cyclist, they're going to give you a deal. They're going to find the best prices on life insurance. You can check them out, healthiq.com/CXHairs. Fill out a quick survey. That helps us know that you are going to them through us, and it's going to help you because you're going to get great prices on life insurance. Also, Worlds Weekend, January 29th, the Sunday of Worlds Weekend. I'm going to be in Chicago at the Rafa Cycle Club, and I want you all to come down there and join me. And we're going to make it at a reasonable time. So we're going to be looking at doing a cyclocross world replay of the men's and women's race starting at 1 p.m. Sunday, January 29th. Would love to see all of my Chicagoland cyclocross friends out there for that event. We're gonna do a little analysis of the race. You know, if you watch it in the morning, that's okay. Come out and maybe we'll be able to see some things you didn't see the first time viewing. Also, if you don't want to watch it or you sleep through it, awesome. Just stay off social media. Come on out, and it will be a spoiler-free event for you. Other than that, you can get at me, feedback@cxhairs.com. Also, call the hotline, 405-CX-HAIRS. Probably later in this week, we'll have another TDD-TIE episode. We have a ton to talk about with CX Nationals and also the U.S. World Selection, all of the other European Nationals championships that happen. Lots to talk about there. But before we get to that, this show coming up, this live podcast event that you're about to hear, is chock full of awesome stuff. And I don't want to hold you from that any longer. So here we go. This is me, Spencer Howe, Emily Kachorek, live from BC Co. in Hartford, Connecticut, right now. All right, welcome. We're ready to go. This is the Wide Angle Podium All-Star Podcast, which basically means me and also Spencer Howe from the Slow Ride Podcast. Let's give it up for Spencer. We also have our special guest. She was able to brave the cold, Emily Kachorek, Squid Bikes. Come on up, Emily. This may be an ongoing theme, but we're going to just start heckling Adam now. Yeah, that's Adam Meyerson was supposed to be here. Evidently, his van was not able to make it out of the parking lot a second time. I don't know. Isn't he from the Northeast?
Yeah, he doesn't sound like a true
New England guy. Wow. All right. Well, again, thank you all for coming out here. So you should talk, Spencer, to make sure I'm not, like, super loud.
The first thing I want to say is, hello, cyclocross friends.
I forgot that part.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for braving the elements. I have an agenda here that we were going to go on, but since Adam isn't here, that's pretty much out the window. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you talk about agenda, and I had sent this thing out to everybody, including Adam, and said, let's not really constantly, you know, we have to speak to everybody that's here, but we also have to take in consideration that when everyone else who listens to this podcast hears it, Nationals is going to be over.
So they're going to know who won. You know, and we can play with that a little bit and have our own predictions, and then they can all, you know, write to us and tell us how we got it wrong.
Nobody does that, do they?
throwing that out the door. And no, we don't. We get everything right. That's kind of our motto. We get it all right.
If you've ever listened to the Slow Ride podcast, and I'm guessing most people are Crosshairs fans here, we're actually never wrong. It's 135, 136 episodes. See?
But it was about 80 when you hit your stride.
Zero incorrect facts.
So
don't go listen back to the back catalog.
Emily, let's just jump right in. How's the course looking?
Snowy. I did a couple laps earlier today before the snow really started coming down. I think it's going to change a lot, obviously, before tomorrow. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see what tonight brings and how many inches of snow are over those frozen ruts.
Racing-wise, what's your experience not only this year, but, you know, throughout your career in racing in conditions like this?
Being from California. My only experience racing in the snow was at Bend, the Bend C1, about 3 years ago, 2013, when it was just frigid, when I think a lot of the men actually got frostbite. And that was one of those things that I sat in the car to warm up on the trainer and was like, I have no idea what I'm doing out here. I'm just going to ride around and see what happens. So not a ton of experience in these conditions, but I kind of always just kind of go with the mindset that if it's not a course that really suits me or I have a lot of experience, that it's a good time to learn on a, you know, in conditions that I don't get a lot of experience in.
When you were out there today, I heard a couple comments from, let's say, some top riders that it was just unrideable. Did you feel like you could get on in okay?
No, I mean, it certainly, I thought it was rideable. There was definitely sections that were going to be faster to run or attempt to run up. The frozen ruts are tricky, but again, I think it's going to change a lot by tomorrow.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, there's certain sections of the course that don't have any ruts at all, because what you're racing on tomorrow is different than what a lot of people out here raced on throughout the week.
Right, absolutely.
Pro only. Yeah, so pretty much every time I've seen course information and stuff, it's different. It seems like, I mean, obviously this is a pretty massive challenge, like with the weather and first the mud and the rain and now the snow. What is it? Do you think that's messing with people? Like, I can ask you as well. Like, are you prepared for anything? Are you worried about what they could include or not include?
Again, I mean, I'm going into it being like, I am not experienced in these conditions to begin with. So I think more nuanced differences that might throw a loop to other people might not be as big of a deal for myself.
I don't know if you know my backstory, but I'm from Minnesota, and we have like 35 different kinds of snow. So this snow here.
Do you have 35 different words for each kind of snow?
We have like just one.
It's all the expletives that are in front of it.
Yeah, I can't say it on this podcast. I can say it on my podcast. We have a couple. Yeah.
Perfect.
This snow, I haven't ridden the course. I don't know what this snow is like, but it looks to be treacherous and with an underlayer of ice, which should keep things interesting. Is the big hill going to be in? Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, I think everything that you saw, the butt slide part, all of that will be in for the pro race, for all the elite races tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, one of the things, you know, maybe it won't be, and one of the cool things that they've done with this course that I really like, you know, they had the ability at Asheville and other places as well, but here you really see it go into effect, this sort of erector set setup that they have where they go, okay, this isn't rideable anymore, or the laps are too long here, we'll take out this section, we'll put in this section. You know, when we got here on Wednesday, the whole part where the flyover is and down near the river, that wasn't on the course. They just went around the boathouse and then back straight to the finish. So it's really cool. And I think the organizers did a great job making a course that they can expand and then also compress, one for safety and then also just for lap times. Because nobody really wants to go to Nationals and race two laps.
No, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, it seems like it was well planned out in that regard, for sure. Yeah. Sections that they can add and take out. There was even a few sections I think I didn't even ride today, probably, because they were so roped off.
Yeah, that's those are just for you. Those are those pro-only sections. Yeah. The other, you get to see the little graffiti train tunnel on the other side of the levee.
Really?
You may not even seen it. If you just look behind you when you're running on that, don't do that. It's there.
It's going to be your fault.
It's going to be great photos. So let me ask you this, Emily. Since you have to play this game too, we'll start with the men's race.
All right.
Who's going to win?
Anthony Clark.
Ah, going with that. There you go.
Solid choice.
I like that. That's a good choice. No bias at all.
No bias.
There's going to be a lot of sideways sliding tomorrow.
He's good at that.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. He's all healthy, all ready to go?
If you ask him, he says he's about 55, which is, over the hump, good enough. So he's extremely fit. His hand is really still the issue. He's been riding outside for about a week and a half. So pretty tough conditions for your first race back, but he's got a really positive attitude and is going to go out there. And I think if there's a lot of running, he actually could do really well.
Excellent.
That's true. He's always been pretty solid in the running sections of
all right, Spencer.
Races. What's up?
You're on. We're going right at it. We're not holding back early
we're going
in the
right
show.
At it. Predictions?
Predictions. Men's winner.
You told me we weren't going to do that. Hang on.
I've got all these
predictions
that agenda,
that I wrote down right here on this agenda.
Is that from the erotic zone?
And so I wrote these down on my way here this morning, but that was before all the snow hit. So now my predictions are also all out the window, unfortunately.
It's good that it crinkled, because on a podcast that's going to be awesome.
I know. Man, before today, everybody said, well, there's really two guys out front that are going to run away with this, and it's between them. And now I kind of think all bets are off. I think absolutely anything could happen. Like, maybe not a guy from the sixth row could win, but, like, almost anybody
could
come out on top. I think Anthony's a very solid choice. I think Todd Wells is a very solid choice.
Paige
is a very solid choice. But I'm still going to pick Hyde.
Yeah, I had picked Hyde as well. It was interesting. I talked to Jeremy for a couple minutes today and didn't want to open any scabs, but I sort of scratched them. But I did say, well, it's just similar to Madison the second year when we had ice and snow, and it wasn't his best performance. And he said, no, it's a different kind of weather, different kind of course, and I think that he's been putting in a lot of secret training. Mm-hmm. And
did you say you can run, but you can't hide?
I did not.
You can use that.
Do you think
tomorrow.
He's heard that?
Can
one
I use
before?
That? He's online. Did you come up with that by yourself?
This one won't come out until after tomorrow, so you can use it.
I liked it. Listening to the Slow Ride podcast, I did like the Todd Wells pick. That was a good one.
He's a guy, he doesn't do a lot of cross. He doesn't show up all the time, so he's not on the radar a lot, but obviously he's a super strong rider. When he does show up to nationals, I think it's because he thinks he can win. Like, he doesn't show up to not win, or if he doesn't believe that he has a chance to win. So there's some smart money to be put on Todd Wells tomorrow.
So that being said, who are you sticking with? Now that you've seen the conditions, now you've seen the change, Emily's already on the board.
Yeah,
with Anthony.
I do think I have to pick Hyde. Like, I don't know. It's going to not be so much of a speed race as it is a skills race. And I think the top five are going to be different than everybody expected prior to this, but I still think Hyde is capable of the skill level needed to get over all that, and then has the speed for the sections where he can actually lay down some power. So
he's been doing a lot in Europe too this year, which I'm sure he was already a solid technical rider, but I would imagine that's helped as well.
I on our podcast on the Slow Ride that came out earlier this week, I actually had Anthony in fourth as my dark horse American wide angle podium pick. I think he could actually hit the real podium. I think we could see a Hyde.
Elite Wells. Races just go three, right? The podium just isn't at three, or do they still do the Clark. Wide angle? Huh?
I feel like it's still five, but I don't know.
Oh. I have no idea. Nobody knows what podium stuff.
Anybody know? Can anybody remember other what? Oh, well, three. I like Bruce goes with the European three, so yeah. we're gonna trust him.
That is.
So it's three.
All I want is somebody on the elite podium to dab like Molly Cameron has been. Twice on the podium this week.
On both sides.
One on each side. Bam, bam. So good. Somebody needs to Photoshop those
together.
Yeah,
we just got to overlay them. It'll be a nice little look. Right. Yes.
So you're here.
I'm here.
You're not usually here.
Where?
I'm not usually here either. Is this a Crosshairs radio show, or is this a Slow Ride podcast show, or what is
I think it's going to be a Crosshair show.
Okay, I'm not usually here either, but
I don't know where this is going.
Tell me, I'm in New England, so I'm familiar with Anthony, and I've seen the Squid Bikes and the team and stuff, but I don't know a lot beyond Anthony. So tell me anything that I need to know about that program and your racing and what's going on and... You know.
So is this me just watching me interview? Is that what we're doing? I'm fine with it. I'm perfectly fine with it.
If you
I
have
just
something
back.
To chime in.
No. You go.
Free.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
If the Peanut Gallery has comments.
Comments from the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah.
The Squid Bikes team started, I guess, in 2016. Myself and Anthony. We had him on a squid while he was still racing for Jam Fund and brought him on the year after that. So we've had him full-time on the squid program for the last 2 years. Squid is based out of Sacramento, California, and we right now make handmade aluminum cyclocross bikes exclusively, although we will be broadening that line soon. Ooh. And kind of our idea is that we essentially wanted bikes to look different than most bikes that are out there. And what we've run with for the most part has been a bike called the Rattle Can, which is a bike that we sell raw with bike-specific spray paint. And the whole idea is that you finish the bike however you want. So in general, most of the bikes you see are very colorful and bright and not perfect, which is exactly how we want them.
Awesome.
So how did that come about? What's your background that A, you know, building these bikes, and then also just from the really sort of out of the box finishing them off with the Rattle Can and that.
It's a little bit of a long story.
We got a lot of time.
Like many people had spray painted bikes at one point or another in their life because they just wanted their bike to be a different color or a little more fun. And I have a road racing background. I raced on the road full time for 3 years. Kind of decided to switch to cross for a number of reasons, and just jumped in with both feet, turned down a road contract, and was like, all right, I've never raced cyclocross, I'm in, let's do this. Put a team together for myself, and ended up kind of taking one of my team bikes, and I went to the hobby store and got some neon vinyl, nice. And just vinyled the whole thing, and looked like this just like neon vomit. And, you know, I did it, and I was like, oh, man, am I going to be embarrassed going to the start line with this thing? Like, it's so loud and obnoxious, and I had bright neon kits. I don't know if everyone remembers the stripey neon kit. I had lots of nicknames that year, 2013. And, you know, ultimately, I decided that I didn't really care what anyone else thought because I liked the bike. And I would ride it. My mechanics would walk that thing across the course, and everyone's head would turn. And that was kind of the spark that led to the initiation of the company, where it was like, wow, you know, there really aren't a lot of other bikes out there that look really different. And how cool would that be if we could bring this creative energy and color to not only the cyclocross world, but kind of ideally just spread that culture. So we went into it, again, with this idea that we wanted bikes to be different and got our inspiration from the skate world and the surf world and kind of have rolled with it from there.
Starting a business, what's your background in just going out
nothing.
And starting nothing? So you just...
Yeah.
So you're learning as you go.
Yes, absolutely. So it was definitely one of those things, and it's not just myself. I have three other business partners. and went into it just being like, all right, well, I guess we're gonna figure out how to do this. And, you know, we initially started being like, well, we'll do, you know, maybe 15 bikes. We can, you know, get a couple to our friends and hopefully a couple other people will want them. And it's certainly grown more than any of us have expected. And, you know, things like we started importing this bicycle-specific spray paint that is based and made in Europe. And it was one of those things that we couldn't just get a couple cans over here to try it. So we committed to getting a whole pallet over here and time to figure out how to import something to the United States. And they actually called us and they're like, so who's your... I think they said your importer, your port guy, and we're like, I don't know you. We don't know what we're doing. So there's been a lot of kind of just bumbling through it, but certainly have learned a lot. And again, I don't think you know 2.5-3 years ago when we started, we thought we'd be here. So it's been fun.
Awesome.
Just from the racing side, you mentioned how you were a road racer before you got into cross. How even getting to that? Where did you start with just racing bikes?
So I started racing bikes, gosh, 2000. I'm going to make myself sound really old. I wish Adam was here. In 2000.
Awesome. Oh, my God.
2001. That sounds right. In college at UC Davis. And I had played sports my whole life, like many people have. And
so what kind of sports? What did you grow up playing?
Mostly playing soccer.
Okay.
Yep. But kind of everything, softball, volleyball, a little bit of track and field. And UC Davis had a fantastic collegiate cycling program, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. I'm going to buy a bike. And I just kind of jumped in with both feet. And Davis is kind of in a flat area. There's not a ton of mountains there, so gravitated towards road. And had a lot of success early on in the collegiate scene, couple collegiate national championships, and then started doing more of the USCF stuff at the time, and then actually quit for a while, 7-8 years, quit racing competitively, moved up to Northern California, did a master's degree, and the university I was at didn't have a cycling team, and I was like, oh, this is crazy, you know, collegiate cycling I think is so special, and it's been really amazing for me to see how it's grown in the United States since then, and especially at the high school level. So I started the team at Sacramento State, where I was getting my master's in biology, with no real intention to get back into racing, but found myself riding more and more. Jumped into a couple local races, you know, and then it's like, well, come do these guest ride at these NRCs, and then I got some good results, and then next thing you know, I had a master's degree, no job, and a pro road contract.
For the perfect story.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my story, too, so I'm not going
to
rehash.
That's putting your education to good use.
If exactly.
If you hadn't gotten the master's degree, you would have never started that cycling team.
It's probably true.
And you wouldn't be owning a bike company right now.
Probably true. Yeah. Life's funny like that.
I realize I interrupted our podium predictions.
That's okay. I was just going to like throw them out throughout the program, all so right. It's okay. We got a lot of other stuff. We got to make sure that we don't forget any of the other stuff that we need to get in there as well.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm going to speak in for 1 minute. I don't know if this is podcast protocol, but it is important that there is a 7 o'clock parking ban in Hartford, which is part of all our beautiful winter weather and why we're doing a winter gear share. So if you are parallel parked on the street, there are like 8 spots in the lot across the street. It's a good idea to move your car there such that things don't get really awkward. Sorry.
All right. So if you're parked on the street, we'll just keep talking and wait for you to come back.
See you later, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Speaking of segues, we're about to segue into the women's podium.
Women's podium.
I'll start. Baker's Dozen, number 13, Katie Compton. Easy.
Solid choice.
Thank you.
It's a solid choice.
She knows how to ride in the slop, and she's really, really fast and really powerful. So.
That's very true. It's hard to bet against that. It's very hard.
But in you're
fact,
going to.
You'd probably be a fool to bet against that. But
so if that's the case, who do you got?
Well, I don't know if you've listened to our show before, but I like to do whatever Tim, the opposite of whatever Tim does.
Wait, first you were playing me, and now I have to play Tim?
Yeah. So you're Tim. I'm going to say Compton's probably a strong choice, but I've been lurking the crossresults.net website, and the second place prediction goes to Amanda Miller. And if I recall right, she's from Iowa, where they have lots of snow and slop, and she's done Jingle Cross about 1,000 times. And that has a steep, muddy, gnarly hill in it, and she always does well there, and I think she could be a strong candidate to break the streak, as it were. Mm.
Is it against protocol to like, predict somebody in your own race? Let's say if you don't win, who
all right.
will?
Yeah, aside from yourself.
You know, I'm going to go with Katie, too.
Yeah.
She's having a great year, and I think it's a it's going to be a technical course that also is going to require a lot of power, which I think, it just suits her very well.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that this is also the type of weather conditions that we saw even at Worlds and like even Master Worlds before that, where everything freezes and you see rear derailleurs breaking off mm-hmm. left and right. So, it really could come down to a mechanical in a lot of these races on top of just skills. So everything has to go right, but
it does. Who kind of what you were? Somebody was talking about Anthony being a strong runner in the men's race. Who's going to have that advantage in the women's field? Who do you think is the some of the stronger runners?
Sunny.
Oh,
is Sunny here?
I believe so, and she did great in Europe as well. She
right.
had a lot of good
she's, really tall. She's got long legs, which is going to be really good for that, the big hill, the Brunkbaker Hill. I think she could, I don't think she's going to rival Katie by any means, but I think she could have a surprisingly strong result out here.
So when you were this afternoon, when you were out there riding for that Bonkbreaker Hill, like the line seems to have changed every race. Like I think beginning of the week, everybody was down low, and then everybody moved straight to the top, and then they were going diagonally up the middle. Where is it now?
I think the first lap is just going to be kind of wherever someone isn't right in front of you.
Right.
The low line still looks like it's pretty rideable. The diagonal line I actually thought looked pretty good because it looks like there's enough deep frozen ruts that you can kind of get good traction. But, again, I think the snow tonight's just going to totally throw that off too.
I have a question for you all out there. Who raced? What was the fascination with right after the start, sort of that first little chicane before the pits, of having to be over on the left side in the start, like everybody needed to be on that one-inch little section?
It was the first turn. You had to go wide on the first turn because it's chewed up. So you ended up on that left side.
But that's where everybody was crashing.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So wouldn't you want to stay away from there, even if it was chopped up?
Hindsight.
I'm not buying that, but okay. That was my observation that I saw. I was like, we would just see crash after crash after crash in this one little spot. And I'm like, well, and you could see guys just all floating. It was like, that's the line. We all have to float to the line. Maybe I'm an idiot racing, but I was thinking maybe just stay wider and have a little choppier entry into that.
I think this is where some of Adam's insights would have come in handy here, because I feel like he's the guy that always searches out the Sven line,
Or the Meyerson line.
Could be. As the conditions change, the fast line or the obvious line or the standard line does not
the lemming line
usually remain to be the correct line, yeah.
To give Carl Decker credit for that.
Mm. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, so that was my main observation. It will be interesting to see. I'm assuming the elite fields, though they may, one, it's going to be snow and it's all sort of moved out, and I think those ruts are gone, and they may even roll it down and make it smooth tonight, so.
They wouldn't do that.
Plow it out. Hmm. That's like every other country's national championships. They don't have a week worth of racing on it first.
That's true, but they're not as awesome.
we give our elites the worst conditions for the course after it's already beat to hell.
Seems fair.
Okay.
I'm fine with it, really. They can race exciting. Earlier in the week if they really want to, right?
Some of them did.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Bill, any surprises this week with some of the results or anything like that? Anything standing out as far as like,
that's already happened?
Yeah.
I like that the is it Isaac Neff won the single speed?
Yeah.
That his training for single speed racing was that he competed in the Little 500.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Way to do it.
So that's quality training for single speed, I think.
That's pretty good. You know, I think he learned most of his skills though from his sister Yolanda Neff, like because he gets to ride with her. And that's how he got all his skills.
Really, they're related? Now you're playing the part of Tim.
Well, that was the thing with Rachel Atherton, where they said, oh, well, she gets to ride with her brother, so that's why she's so good.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why Isaac's so good, too.
Yep. All right. I look forward to seeing him on the Mountain Bike World Cup Tour.
See, on our show, we don't mind just spreading rumors that are...
No, that's a good one. It's right there in the tagline.
The show is a little more fact-based, so I'm not sure how to deal with it.
All right. Well, we could deal with it by talking about the U23s.
Ooh. All right. I'm ready.
Okay. U23 men.
All right. So I went over this on our show.
I know. I don't want to rehash this, but I just want to see if, you know, maybe you changed time of, you know,
Addison. I have not changed my opinion. I think Curtis White is the class of this field. I think, barring any major mechanicals or crashes, he's gonna do well. But again, I think a dark horse for a podium will be Peter Goggin from New England, who has been hanging with White at like NBX and NoHo and some of the races in New England for most of the race, you know, until maybe the last lap he'll pop off and coast into like second or third or fourth. But that's in the regular elite field. So in the U23, I think he'll be right up there and surprise some people. It's a name probably most people outside of New England aren't seeing regularly.
I'm with you on Curtis. I'll give my dark horse even for the win, and that's going to be Cooper Willsley.
Okay.
And even though he races for Furman down in South Carolina, as Tim Johnson pointed out to me today, Vermont. That's all he said, just Vermont. So that's going to be my dark horse pick for U23.
All right.
Any say in this, Emily?
I'm a little unprepared in this regard.
That's okay. It's like Curtis White, Gage Hecht, Spencer Petroff.
Is Brandon Fix?
Yes.
Brandon Fix. Go with that. Yeah.
He won the collegiate race, right?
Yes.
He's currently going pretty good. He seems like he's had a pretty good year, too.
Awesome.
Throw his name out there.
That's perfect.
What?
I'm sorry I didn't hear them. Max Chance, yes. That's another good one. All right. Great. We got a couple voicemails.
Oh, really?
We could take some questions from the crowd.
What would happen if I called the number right now?
It would go straight to voicemail because I'm not answering that call.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
Fair enough.
Let's do that. Let me see if I can. You all talk amongst yourself. I'm going to pull up a voicemail here.
CX Hairs, right?
405 CX Hairs. That is the hotline. All right, here we go. Here is our first voicemail. Came in a couple days ago.
Bill, I don't see any parking shuttles. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned because it's cross national season and, I see there's racing going on, but, if you could send a parking shuttle to me over here at the, Biltmore parking lot, that'd be great. Just tell them to look for Thaddeus Bellwether. I appreciate it.
Thaddeus Bellwether still waiting for that parking shuttle, Spencer.
Oh, man, you know, I thought that guy was better prepared.
He seems to be confused about where Nationals are this year.
I think he's been there for a while.
Yeah, I think he has too. They should have given him a job. He's like a...
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to call now?
Yeah, I have some comments.
Okay, you can do that.
I'll save them, I guess.
We have questions. Let's take some questions. We have a microphone. I'm going to make an executive decision and throw Elliot under the bus here for comments. Anything? European stuff? National stuff? Hang on, I got to turn up that volume. Okay.
Ooh, okay. I was thinking Nationals. A lot of folks for the pro races were actually warming up. Who looked comfortable? Like, who looked comfortable with the snow? Because I had two people that looked really comfortable.
I can't even answer that because I was stuck in the production truck all day long today, so I didn't even see anybody warming up. So who did you see?
I saw Jamie Driscoll looked very, very, very comfortable. He did not look under stress. He lives in Utah, right? And they get snow. They get snow there, right? In Utah sometimes?
Yeah.
There we go. And he's
Vermont again.
Right.
Vermont is the key to Nationals.
Right.
I like that, Jamie Driscoll.
Katie Antoneau also looked very, very comfortable and like not... And she's from Wisconsin. She's from a snowy state. So.
Oh, yeah. They got at least 40 where it's for snow there.
Yeah, they got a lot of snow there. So those are two people that I saw that looked very comfortable. And they were just riding down by the pit lane, like in front of the Crosshairs tent. So it's hard to say when it's just in front of the pit.
But. Yeah, I talked to about 6 or 7 of the favorites in different categories today. And I would say Katie Antoneau, definitely the most relaxed of probably all of them. So I think that... Going along with what you said, that's a good sign.
I want to change my pick.
Stick with the Midwest.
Yeah.
You're going against your roots.
Well, Minnesota has beef with Iowa and Wisconsin, but...
You know, I never knew that there was beef with... I grew up in Iowa. That's how sheltered we are in there. We don't know that these states up to the north are, like, making fun of us. I had no idea until I moved to Minnesota.
Do you know what Iowa stands for?
Please tell me.
I oughta win a round.
See, this was... I got tortured when I, like, worked in Minnesota because I had lived in Iowa.
I had never been there before I went to Jingle Cross, but I knew that I didn't like it. It's kind of like Florida.
I didn't know that living in a place where it snowed and not ice skating was something that I was going to get, you know, hell for.
Yeah.
We don't skate in Iowa. We got boots.
State of hockey, bro. So, yeah, I want to switch. I want to switch to Katie.
Katie Anna, that's
great.
I'm going to
go into Wisconsin. We got a little tighter bond.
All right. Okay, any other questions? Any questions for Emily? Yeah, Ed.
Emily, what was your master's in that you never used?
Or biology, with an emphasis in conservation.
All right, good question.
Got to
Anybody
spend some
else?
Time in South America for a summer doing some research, which was pretty fantastic, in the middle of the Amazon in Guyana.
So for folks who aren't here, and there's a pretty sizable crowd of racers and some spectators, families, friends, fans, but the Twitter sphere, the internet, everything has got the usual topics of discussion, one of them being dividing up Nationals, having Masters and other folks back in December so they can go home and make the Christmas cookies, and then the elites and, you know, maybe some other categories, college in January. Any discussion y'all are hearing here about that topic?
It's always a topic that we hear about. I want to say that we actually had somebody write into our show that had this great idea.
Really?
About having him in November.
I haven't heard this.
Dan Chavanov with his unique idea about having...
Genius. That is a genius idea.
Yeah.
Did he have a rationale for that, or he just November?
I'm giving Spencer a hard time, though.
I'll raise you. Your December to November.
Idea as well.
Dan Chavanov stole my intellectual property.
No.
I know.
It's It's Jersey Dan CX Nats. That's now official. Well, Dan was like, we could have North American unity and do it the same time that Canada has done theirs
in October and early November, because Canada is...
Yeah. But then you stay away from the holidays at all. You stay away from New Year's. And when is Road Nationals? It's not the end of road season.
Right, exactly. No. There's plenty of time race afterwards.
There's no rule that this has to be the finale. Yeah. This has to be like the grand ending of your season.
Yeah, and there's always been that argument since it moved from December to January, which makes sense aligning with the European calendar. Like, I get it. But there's always been the argument back and forth, like, December was better, January's better. And I'm just like, man... leave all that behind. Let's go to October.
Look at Australia. They have in August.
Yeah. Their whole thing is backwards. So. But I'd kind of like to see whoever wins Nationals, like, be able to race in their jersey that year.
Right.
Like, it's weird to not see them for, like, 9 months. And then you're kind of like, who won Nationals again? You know?
Yeah. And you know, that was part of it, that it does make it us more... into the international community by having it this weekend. I mean, tomorrow's going to be Belgian Nationals, going to be Netherlands are having their Nationals. Everybody in Europe's having their Nationals. You know, one downside for me personally is that I don't get to see any of those races, which I'd like to, so then I have to find them on the dark webs later this week. Chris's original question, though, is breaking them up, splitting... Right. Like out the pro races from the rest of the races.
Like road does that, track does that. I don't know about mountain bikes, because that's like a whole
mountain bikes all
area.
Together.
Yeah. So why not cross? Like, well, I think then the course wouldn't be chewed up like we were just talking about.
How do you pay for that?
Well, I don't pay for it.
I think that's the main problem here, because right now all of you who raced already are paying for Emily to race, so you should thank them all for their contributions. Even though she still has to pay to race, I shouldn't say that. You know, the elite still have to pay. But if you just were closing off Riverside Park just for the pro racers, you're going to have a huge influx of money to do that, to pay for that. Right now, a lot of that money is on the backs of juniors and masters, thank you all for your service. You know, and everybody else that is racing.
And
that's what pays for it. Single speeders. Well, mainly single speeders. How many, Taylor? 160? 160.
It should be free to rock the one cog, but it's not.
It is not. It is not. And they actually probably, yes, they gave more than most since there were so many of them.
It's like price per gear is
so I think, and I think that the difference in road is that you have these corporate sponsors that are putting forth a lot more money than we have in cyclocross. So that's the when Squid Bikes becomes this multinational conglomerate and can, you know, give us six figures.
Done.
Then we'll be able to split it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good goal to have for the future. I don't see it happening real soon, but
no.
October.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason. So what's the consensus, because it's usually the junior parents, which I know some are here, going back to December or staying where it is in January? I mean, is it like exams one time versus another, holidays?
You got to do this via applause.
Applause?
Okay.
All right. So...
let's go, you know, December, January.
Just give those choices.
I think you should throw November in there.
We do what?
November.
Yeah, we should have.
Might as well do all three.
All right. Okay.
Start at the top, work your way down. January.
Trying to figure out which way the top was, because the way I was thinking was November, December, January, but I guess January would be the first one.
I was realizing that as I said it, and I just kept rolling.
All right. Who would like to see Cross Nationals stay January?
Pretty good.
Who would like to see the Jersey Dan Cyclocross Nationals in November? Yeah. And who would like to go back to how it used to be and have Cyclocross Nationals in December?
Oh, wow.
That is interesting, because those are, if you look, those are the emails I get on Twitter and everything. Move it back to December.
So yeah, people
is that because you are now, how many of those people who would have said December really, really like November? Yeah? Is that the reason why? Okay.
That's me for sure. I was down for the November or for the December change, but I like the sound of November even better.
It opens up the whole country. It does.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, more locations available. You can
What are you saying about it?
We can have Cross Nats in International Falls, Minnesota.
Finally.
Yeah, like we've been waiting. We keep applying every
right around the car testing facilities.
Yeah. It's like -50
cold
there
weather,
right now,
so cold weather car testing. Yeah. It's all I knew had happened in International Falls.
That's more than I knew actually.
Okay, so single speeders are funding most of nationals. We've got a single speed world championship venue for next year. That's good to go. Masters fund a substantial part of the nationals experience. But what are you guys' thoughts about Masters Worlds? They need to find a home. Do they need to just go back to mall every year? Are we going to get something going in the United States again sometime? Is there any news that y'all have?
I don't know of any news. I sort of like it in mall. I think it's sort of cool that everybody should just have to go to Belgium to race cyclocross Masters Worlds. And they're Masters racers. If they're still racing and can afford to do it, they should be able to go.
That's the dream, though, right?
Go to the motherland.
Right. I mean, you love the sport. You're super into it. You're 55 plus or whatever. You don't want to go to Albuquerque and race Worlds, you want to go to Belgium, right? Sorry,
yeah.
Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Plus, it's in November, right?
When is it? I don't even know when it is. It is early. All right, Joseph.
So we have a few juniors here, right? And did you guys, some of you guys race today? So I wanted to kind of get a little feedback from you guys about what your experience was out on the course and how you guys felt the race was. I mean, some of you guys aren't from Hartford. You guys are from Hartford? No. Okay. So you guys really don't know. Like, you haven't been here before. So how did you like it? Sort of what experiences did you have? I kind of like to hear from you guys, because I think one of the cool things in Connecticut that's a little bit unique is that we have a statewide funded youth cycling program called the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program that works with a ton of juniors. And so they've done a great job of growing the youth junior cycling experience here in New England, and particularly in Connecticut. And so you guys raced against a bunch of those guys. And so I'd love to hear sort of your feedback on how you thought the course was today.
All right, who's going to take it for the? Oh, somebody's got to talk.
I like putting the kids on the spot.
Yes, there you go.
This is great. This is great.
All right, I was going to say the course was fun, but interesting, I guess. I probably fell 7 times.
Were they all intentional?
No, one might have been.
Well, but... Now, Sam, you had the opportunity, you raced in the relay as well the day before, right?
Yeah.
So how did the course change from doing that to what you experienced today?
It was completely different. It was almost unrecognizably different. Yesterday, it was lots of puddles and completely soupy everywhere, and today it was rock solid, and it really hurt more when you fell on it.
Did you, did you change bikes?
No.
Okay. So you were able to ride, just went through the same bikes both days, I guess with the relay, you really didn't have to.
The relay was only one lap.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was fine? Did you feel like you were slowing down?
Not really.
Did you have a pit bike?
Not for the relay.
Perfect. No. How about...
Nice.
Good. All right.
I really...
Next. Oh, more juniors. Let's go.
I really enjoyed the course. I mean, in Mobber, we don't really have... We have technical courses probably more so than a lot of other places, but this kind of brought another aspect of it being 7 days, so the course changes a lot, even, from 8 in the morning to 12 since we got snow. And so, you know, pre-riding, it was kind of during the race, it was a lot more of a fluid race than, you know, one lap you ride something, the next lap you run it, and you have to make decisions during the race, which we don't, I haven't really, you know, had tons of experience with that before, which is a cool aspect of it, which is kind of nice to have a longer race or over more days to have the course be more fluid and to have things to change, especially having parts taken in and out and not really always knowing sure what you're going to race. So that was a really cool aspect of it, and I really enjoyed that part.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true, and it's something that in Mabra, or even as I like to refer to it as SMABRA, the Southern Mid-Atlantic, you can race file treads pretty much the whole year. It's a rare occasion when you actually have to take them off the bike, so it's cool that you all get this experience to come up here and really see what all the New England people don't stop talking about. Do you now count yourself as one of them? Are you in there? You are. You just like jumped in with both feet.
It depends on the conversation. I like to, you know, shift to Minnesota when I can make fun of New England and then shift to New England when needed. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with what they were saying. Like, I like how this course, because it's been ridden so much, it changes. Like yesterday, I just pre-rode yesterday. I didn't race. But the low line on the off camber on Bronc Breaker Hill, you could ride that, and it wasn't a problem, but today it was hard to even run it during the race because it was so worn down.
Interesting.
And the course was changing a bunch.
What size toe spikes did you have? Little ones, big ones, none?
Tiny little ones.
Oh, see, okay. Good. Very good. I like this. We got juniors actually talking. That's nice. Into the microphone.
Yeah.
Any other questions from anybody? It can be non-juniors. About anything. We can talk about European cyclocross. Yes, Sam, go.
Tire pressure predictions for pros.
Ooh, well, let's start at the end of the row here, Emily.
Was this Worlds?
No, it's
That's a tough
here.
Question. You know, it's... I mean, I would say low, right? Below 20s, potentially, for some riders.
I know at like Milton Keynes, which seems like condition-wise, sort of similar, hilly, muddy, Katie Compton was running 18.
Sounds right.
That seems, I'll bet there are some riders in that area.
Jay Powell, I think, posted up that he was, or in an interview said that he was looking at running between 14 and 16.
Oh, there you go.
Which is like... I feel like I couldn't sit on the bike and not bottom out my tires.
Well, yeah, I mean, you figure if it's that soft and there's snow, you know the rule. At least the rule of thumb I always learned is if you don't bottom out at least once, then you're too high.
Yeah, all bets are off on the frozen, snowy ruts. I would go as low as possible, and I think Jeremy's probably in the right ballpark. People are going to be running low and mid-teens, and it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, the one nice thing is that there aren't any turns onto asphalt, because that's always, like, treacherous when you'll see it even in the European races. You get these, like, high-speed turns onto the asphalt, and then that everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
Good question. All right, what else we got? Do we have to do some promotional stuff?
We don't have to.
Should we?
We can.
All right, let's do that.
So this is a Wide Angle Podium consortium show here. Crosshairs Radio is on the network. I'm from the Slow Ride podcast, also on the network. We have four or five other shows on the network as well, all put on by people that love bikes and like to talk about them and want to tell you about them. And if you haven't checked it out, go over to wideanglepodium.com, check out some of the other shows. I'm sure if you like either of our shows, you're going to like some other shows on the network as well. We're donor-supported, so if you have an extra couple bucks to throw, subscribe to a membership, and that money goes straight to us. It doesn't go anywhere else, which is... really nice. Thanks, guys. To all the people that have.
The thing is, what Spencer isn't saying, though, is where that money goes is to the really lots of money that it takes to pay for server space. So if you were just to go out and do a podcast on your own, and I know people tell me this, and you hear, and they're like, well, it's only like, you know, $20 a month, and then you can have hosting and do your podcast. The problem is that the Wide Angle Podium is at that pro level, which is way above $20 a month, like in the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. Just
when you start getting more listeners, it starts costing more money.
Right.
Is the sad reality, the double-edged sword of it. But so we try and make it worth your while. We give you some bonus content, some stuff that's not available anywhere else that you can log into and check out. Bill has an interview bonus episode up right now. The Slow Ride Podcast has a couple bonus episodes.
Klein Corner.
We just did our first video of the Klein Corner featuring little guy. He wrote the music for the intro himself, and he reviews a bunch of Klein bicycles that I found on the internet. I emailed him this whole document, and he had to go through sight unseen and just give his initial reactions to them. It's fantastic. So that's up there. We have a bunch of other stuff. Me and Tim have done some fake sports podcasts about the MLS and about the NHL. We don't know a whole lot about those sports. But they're pretty good. They're interesting. So that's, you know, some of the ways we try to give you a little bit extra if you can throw a few bucks our way. So that's what the Wide Angle Podium's all about. I don't know what else we want to talk about. I have some water bottles here.
All right. Well, yeah. The other thing that I do want to mention before we close things down is that along with, you know, our host, BC Co, who were gracious enough to have us in the space.
Yeah.
We also, on the walls here, people on the podcast can't see the walls. Hopefully somebody's taking pictures so we can show them. We have the photography of three of my favorite photographers out there, who are Bruce Buckley, Brett Rothmeyer, and Ethan Glading. Mm-hmm. If you are here, or even if you aren't here listening to this, give these guys a follow. Go to their websites. I think on Twitter, Ethan's EA Glading, and Bruce is B Buckley Photo on Twitter. Well, Instagram. What's Instagram? Huh? Bruce_Buckley on Instagram. The Penultimate Stage. That is Ethan on Instagram. Follow him. Brett is Brett Rothmeyer, yes, on Instagram. Keeping it simple. Mm-hmm. Easy for me to remember. But give those guys a follow. Check out their photography. The stuff that they had posted here tonight is pretty awesome. I hope all of you had a chance to look at all of their photographs. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, please check them out as well. Do we have anything else for Emily that we have to cover? She came out here. She went through death-defying road conditions to make it here.
Travel was treacherous, yeah.
I will tell you this before we get to that the part of, and this might be inside baseball, so maybe I'll get in trouble with this, but I was sitting in the USA Cycling television truck for a lot of the afternoon, and amongst the other chaos that always happens trying to put these productions together was that the pizza that they bought for the whole crew, all the cameramen and all the producers and all those guys, at first they only got like three pizzas for like 12 people, and then by the time they went and these are like big guys, to find the pizza, somebody else had already eaten all of it. So then they went and ordered more pizza, and this is while the snow's just building up. They ordered 12 pizzas. The pizza guy got caught in this like horrendous wreck on the highway, like cars spinning out all over. They totaled his car, like pizza strewn across the lane. So in the meantime, nobody's working because they're all waiting for the pizza. The director's going nuts because he's losing all of this like production time to pizza time. And you'll see tomorrow, it'll all turn out great. But that's sort of like what was going on today just next to the course.
That is
so when you send out your angry tweets to Micah Rice, mm-hmm, tomorrow and on Monday about the production, just keep that in mind that there was a pizza incident that
we had a little bit of an adventure on the way home too.
Yeah?
Yeah, with Anthony.
Oh, yeah? How so?
In his squid van. It died on the highway in the snowstorm. So we pulled over, and Anthony's had some problems with this van. He's had it for a couple months. So we pull over.
Incident, yeah.
Yep, he gets his jacket out, you know, lays it on the snow so he can get on his back and get under the van and has a couple of ideas of what it might be and pulls the oxygen sensors because, I don't know, he thinks something's plugged. He pulls one of them and it starts and we go like 50 feet and it dies again. So, meanwhile, I'm Instagram storing this whole thing, of course.
Oh, we'll have to check that out.
And this was after we were doing a little bit of drifting, and, you know, my mechanic's like, don't drift next to the spectators. So eventually he realizes there's two oxygen sensors, and this is just to get home. Meanwhile, the car's getting louder and louder. He pulls the other oxygen sensor, and we limp the car all the way back home. Oh, so we made it.
Outstanding. So to see this story, where can they follow you?
Instagram?
On social media. Yeah, let's go Instagram.
Yep, E.E. Kachorik, I believe, is my Instagram, or okay. Squid Bikes.
Well, that was an ask. So there's also Squid Bikes on Twitter, Squid Bikes, or is it different on Twitter?
Squid Bikes on Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter
and I think
and
my Twitter is Emily Kachorik. My Instagram is E.E. Kachorik.
Awesome.
Double E's.
Make sure you follow Emily. Also, make sure you cheer for her now that, you know, yeah. Now that she's your new best friend out there on the on course tomorrow.
I love cheers. We got a question. Looks like we got another question here, too.
Leave it here. Just know one thing, that if you do leave a message, that you are agreeing for us to play it on the Crosshairs Radio podcast. So if you got something personal that's not for broadcast, hit me up at feedback@dxhairs.com. But for now, let's hear it. Go crazy.
Hey, Bill, this is Spencer. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was wondering what your predictions were for nationals for the women's U23 race. I don't think we covered that. If you could get back to me in one of the episodes, I'd appreciate it. I'll take my answer off the air.
Beep!
I feel like we should be doing a promo now. Got any sponsors?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Should we do that now, or should I just wait for a couple weeks from now?
I'll have a much better idea what my prediction will be tomorrow evening.
I'm just going to go Scratch and go Ellen Noble.
That's a pretty good bet. A lot of people are going that way.
What's that?
A lot of people are going that way.
Yeah.
But they're both from New England. They're both Maine and Vermont.
Right.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great race to watch. So get out there
who's the better runner? Any idea?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Emily, any idea?
I don't know either, but my money's on Ellen, too. Yeah. Her head's on straight, and she's had a great year.
So that race is at 10 in the morning. And I'm
Anybody have a dark horse? Who's your U23 women's dark horse?
Everybody's in Team Noble.
It's hard to bet against her when she's the current, you know, World Cup U23 leader.
They've had some good battles, though.
They have indeed. She's Emma's no slouch.
This is true. She's got the world's medals to show it on the road in the time trial. So yeah, no, that'll be a fun one to watch as well.
Actually, sorry to interrupt. When
please?
I left the hotel to come here tonight, I guess Cannondale's at my hotel. So as I was getting in my car, this tiny little car pulls up next to me, and two tiny little people get out, and I was like, oh, must be some junior racers coming back from dinner. And it was Katie Antoneau and Emma White, and they looked very relaxed.
I had to film and interview both of them today, and thankfully, with those two, I'm not in the shot, but still, and I don't have good knees, but I've now learned this because actually Bruce is one of the people who always gives me this criticism that when I interview people, it looks like this. So I was like this today with my shoulder rig interviewed in Katie Antoneau. Yeah, so she's straight on, parallel to the camera.
I did have one last question for Emily. What is your typical like night before a big race routine and then what do you have for breakfast the day of your
race? Oh, I was going to say I was going to follow up with that one.
Night before is, you know, generally just getting a good night's rest. I don't eat
a ton of meat. So I definitely don't do that the night before a race. I've learned my lesson with that. So, you know, carb heavy, clean meal, low dairy, get a good night's rest. And then typically with races being a little later, try to wake up, maybe sometimes spin the legs out. You know, have a piece of toast, just something so there's in the belly, a cup of coffee, spin the legs out, and then something that'll tie me over all the way till the race. So big bowl of oatmeal or egg sandwich with toast and some vegetables. Easy to digest, and then at least 3 or 4 hours out, and I don't do any food before the race at all.
Podcasters, what's your typical pre-race evening look like? How do you prep for the big day? And then breakfast, too.
I think for me, it's usually just the better episode. You'll notice the episodes that I actually get a couple of coffees down before the show, because we record typically on Monday nights around 9 p.m. So it's, we're kind of starting to get casual. And if I slip too far into that, things get mellow on the show. So I like to try and get a few down, really get the jitters going. It's kind of the opposite of bike racing. Like, you would just want to be, like, ready to go.
Yeah, Scott Diedenbach wakes up at, like, 4 a.m. every morning. So we try to push it off to, like, 7 a.m. sometimes and record then.
Lord.
And so, like, me and David Palin are, like, half asleep all the time. And he's, like, just on it, ready to go. And then sometimes we'll go at 8:30 or 9, and then it's just the opposite effect. So you can go through those. They don't do that in Europe.
I love this.
I think we actually say when we're recording, but you can... If we don't, you can kind of tell if it's one of those morning recordings or night recordings.
So you can always tell a little guy, his bedtime's like 8:30, so we're way past for him, and he's always sounded real sleepy. So.
Yeah. What's your breakfast?
Breakfast?
Uh-huh.
Always a coffee, always. Mm. I go with the Barrington beans out of the East Hampton area where all the fast guys are from. I don't know if that has anything to do with the quality of the podcast, but and just, toast, little fake butter on there, and a little nutritional yeast.
All right. It's,
vegan style.
I think that's the place we should end. Emily, have anything else you want to add?
No, thanks for having me.
Oh, one more question, please.
This is for Emily. How do you think you're going to do in a race tomorrow?
That's an important question.
That is a good question.
Thank you very much for that question. Can you come to my house and ask these questions if you want to do other podcasts?
Yeah, good question. Our field's a little bit smaller than it has been in the past, but I think all the top quality riders are really here. With me not being super experienced in these conditions, I'd be, pretty happy with the top 15. So I think we'll just kind of wait and see. I tend to not do as well in colder conditions. I'm from San Diego, live where it's a little bit warmer, and throughout my career, I've always had my best rides in very warm conditions. In Georgia, I had a really good ride in China this year. So typically when it gets really hot and other people are really uncomfortable is when I tend to do better, and I do have a little bit harder time when it gets cold. So I'm going to keep a positive attitude and go out there and do my best, and give you guys smiles when you cheer for me when I come by, and see how it goes.
Awesome.
All right, awesome.
He's got one more question.
What if it snows again?
If it snows again, actually, I think at this point, probably the more snow, the better, in my opinion. Right. So we'll see.
All right. Spencer, where can people get a hold of you?
People can find me at Spencer Howe, H-A-U-G-H, on the internet, both Instagram and Twitter. And the Slow Ride Podcast, at the Slow Ride Pod on Twitter.
All right, Emily, one more time. Where can people get in touch with you?
E.E. Kachorik.
All right.
Is my Instagram. And Emily at Squid Bikes is my email.
Sweet.
K-A-C-H-O-R-E-K. Yeah, Squid Bikes is probably the easier one to remember. Emily at Squid Bikes.
All right. I'm at CX Harris pretty much everywhere. Also... call the helpline, or go down to North Carolina and get Thaddeus Bellwether out of that parking lot. He's been there too long. He's probably better off there than in the snow, though.
Somebody needs to help that guy.
Yeah, 405 CX Harris. Give it a call. Thank you all for showing up tonight.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
for
thanks for coming, guys.
Coming under the conditions. And yeah, thanks for listening.